Brad Thomas from Summit Pacific, you brought a friend.
I did. Dr. Kevin Caserta is here to talk to us about the importance of wellness checks and seasonal affective disorder this morning.
And good morning. You come in. Thanks for being here. Brad, you come in every month. And
I do. I just love hanging out with you, Johnny.
Right.
But the reality.
The check cleared.
That's
huh?
right. The check but, you know, hey, our theme that we just figured out this morning is health, wellness, and philanthropy. So we'll always be talking about one of those three and hopefully all three of them this morning.
Yes. Okay. Where do we start?
Well, let's talk a little bit about health. You know, there's the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we really try to emphasize at Summit Pacific is what we call wellness visits. And mm-hmm. people think about that like your classic physical. You know, I'm going to go see my doctor and get my physical. Mm-hmm. And the reason that you do it is to stay healthy. We'd rather treat you healthy than treat you sick. Well, absolutely treat you sick.
Right.
But we want to keep our people that we're blessed to serve, we want to keep them healthy. And if you think about it, there's a lot of things that we can do to stay well. A lot of prevention. You know, so for instance, I'm going to turn 50 this year, and I'm going to have to get my colonoscopy, right?
Oh, right.
And not looking forward to it, but I'm looking forward to being able to assure that I'm, you know, going beyond 50 to 60 to 70
right.
to 80, and that's why you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing. We have, you know, you could look up on the internet about different standards. You know, if I'm a woman and I'm over 50 years old, I'm going to try to get a mammogram every 2 years.
Right.
But when we talk about communities, you kind of have the general. But by getting into the wellness visit, your provider, your physician, physician assistant, or ARNP can really assess your family risk factors and other things and tailor a wellness program specifically around you. And that's why we try to bring people in. And in fact, in 2022, we did over 1,000 more wellness visits at Summit Pacific than we did in 2021. So we had over 7,000 people come in for wellness visits, mm-hmm. and we want to continue to grow that. I'd love to get at least 7,500 people in to assure that they continue to be healthy this year.
So if you're not feeling well, my point was, if you're feeling well, you still need to go get your annual checkup, right? Just to check to make sure your blood pressure.
Like maintenance.
Yeah.
But absolutely.
Because I don't know what my blood pressure is. I'm not a healthcare professional. So right. I don't know if I have high cholesterol or high blood pressure, right? But mm-hmm. I literally need to go in for my wellness check just to make sure my A1C, you know, and all mm-hmm. those different factors are like, you know, in the right zone.
You are absolutely correct, Brad, because what occurs is, in fact, they call hypertension, high blood pressure, the silent killer.
Right.
Because if your blood pressure is high, over time that increases your risk of stroke, of heart attacks, amputations, other horrible things that can happen to us. If you pick that up, your doctor can talk about maybe new habits that you can have about eating and exercise. Sometimes prescribe medications as well, so that way you never have those awful, awful events. And that's what we're trying to do when we're trying to work on creating the healthiest community in the nation. Stop people from getting sick.
It's like your car. You need to go in, get the oil changed, have things, your yes. fluids looked at. I was surprised how much you guys know just from a blood test, like things that you can detect and you know, potential problems. And I'm a kind of a hypochondriac,
yes.
so I'll go to the doctor. Doctor, I'm dying of heart failure. I just know it. I'm going to have an aneurysm, too. I just know it. Go take a blood test, and then they get the blood tests, and he says that you're fine, everything's great. You could probably quit eating pizza so much, and you know, maybe a little exercise a little. I'm like, you could tell that from my blood? He's like, no, I just looked at you, but your blood says you're fine.
Well, I love the diagnostics analogy as well. So, for instance, you come in for the wellness. Mm-hmm. You know, we're assessing kind of what road conditions you have been on or you're driving on. That's kind of your family history.
Right.
Then you look at, well, how well are you maintaining yourself? Meaning, are you getting your exercise?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some habits that maybe need to be changed, like tobacco, other mm-hmm. eating habits, right? And then you could actually kind of get under the hood. Mm-hmm. And that gets to the lab work that you mentioned. You know,
yeah.
is the cholesterol, is that good? Mm-hmm. Is your blood sugars good? And there's a lab called a hemoglobin A1C, which we look at. Well, let's look at your blood sugars for basically 3-month time period, and kind of looking back. You know, is that good? And when we look at it all, are your vital signs good? Is your pulse good? Your breathing, is that going well? Is your blood pressure well? We can kind of put that up, and then we can kind of define, well, what are your risk factors? And then make recommendations of what you need further on. And then also, just as you have your maintenance schedule of your car at, 100,000 miles, I need my oil change and my spark plugs and what's not. Mm-hmm. We can say, well, you're 50 now you need a colonoscopy, you need your mammogram. Those things to keep you healthy, keep you driving well into your 80s and 90s at a good speed.
Nice.
So obviously, so I'm going to spin into a little bit of the health issue because you wrote an article recently about creating habits, not resolutions. And if you're like me, here we are in the middle of January, and some of us might be doing well on our New Year's resolutions. Probably half of us have already failed on whatever we were trying to do. So why is it important to create habits and not resolutions?
Well, resolutions are big. And sometimes when you're going to climb that mountain, it seems overwhelming. And what happens? We go back to our natural habit. A habit becomes ingrained in us. It's a part of what we do. For instance, I floss my teeth every single day because that's my habit, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
My dentist told me to do that a long time ago. I started doing it, and now I feel odd if I don't floss my teeth.
Me too.
Right? And so it's a part of us. And so maybe, right now, maybe I'm a couch potato. And my goal might be to participate in the 5K event that both you and I did, Brad, that I think is going to be September 16th of this year at Summit Pacific, right, our wellness event. And maybe my goal is to walk or maybe even to jog that 5K. And by the way, Johnny, Brad kicked my rear end in that event.
Did he?
He sure did. But I finished. I jogged the whole way. I was proud of that.
You did good.
And one of my goals this year is to at least compete a little better with Brad. Well, I need to start early.
Yeah.
Right? Get off of being a couch potato. Mm-hmm. But if my goal is to, kick Brad's rear end, that's a big goal for me. Right. So I'm going to start smaller. Maybe I start with a walking program that I'm going to do on a regular basis. A great way to create a habit is then to stack it on an event that I already do. So I'm going to verbalize it. Hey, I'm going to start a walking program, which I'm going to do every day right after dinner. Then I get my accountability partner. I talk to my wife and say, honey, can you do this with me? Because maybe I don't feel like it, but then she wants to do. And then once that's ingrained, 30, 60 days, I add other things. Okay, now I'm going to jog every other half mile and then slowly increase what I'm doing. And that's what we do to create habits. Here's the other thing. When we fail, sometimes we do.
Right.
It's important not to continue that cycle. And so, yeah, go ahead, Brett.
And that's the importance of habits versus resolutions. Because resolutions, like when we don't succeed at our resolution, usually after a week or two or even a month, right? Then what do we do? We usually quit.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. A habit, so back to, hey, the goal was to walk 3 times a week for 30 minutes after dinner, as you just mentioned. That might be where you start. Well, guess what? 1 week, if you don't do one of the days, does it mean you stop? No, it's like you keep going. And maybe you can only walk for 20 minutes. The point is like these little steps, like baby steps are going to be a lot more successful at, hey, this is my goal, right? And I have a health goal, for 2023, but I think it's just breaking it down into small bite size and like, hey, if we miss a day, it's no big deal. Just keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
And if Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are my days and I miss Wednesday, well, guess what? I can do it on Thursday or I can do it with my wife on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we just mix it up. The resolution always seems so big and grand, this huge mountain that we're trying to climb.
I'm going to lose 100 pounds.
I have a heck of a time losing 5 pounds. And so really, I exercise 6-7 days a week, and I'm just here to say that, nutrition is one of my greatest challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about our weakness foods before.
That's right. We might bring them up again.
It's up to you.
We have some of the same weakness foods.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We have Brad and Dr. Kevin in. We're talking health and philanthropy and
Wellness.
And wellness, yeah. Not in that specific order, though.
Never.
Right?
Never.
Tell me about SAD.
Yeah, you know, people talk about the winter blues. And the reality is, some of us get the winter blues just a little bit, and some of us actually can get the winter blues pretty badly.
Right.
And so SAD is an acronym for Seasonal Affective Disorder. It's actually a broad scope, and believe it or not, some people actually can get that during the summer. I don't know why, but some people actually can. But really want to focus in on people who get it during the winter. And what occurs is the light that, you know, that comes down from the sun, when there's less of it, actually can decrease what we call serotonin, and it's a neurochemical. It's basically what God put into our brain to help to regulate our mood, but it goes down during that summer in times of less light. And really, 3 to 5% probably of our population, and you know, different statistics depend on different studies, can be affected pretty profoundly with it. They become depressed. They begin to eat more, get less exercise,
right,
sleep more. And some people, it can even bring even serious thoughts, suicidal ideation, thinking about hurting themselves. Mm-hmm. Awful, awful things. And so what we want to do is bring it to the forefront, because what we find is when we talk about depression with people struggling with mental health, it makes it part of our human experience, because almost everybody does struggle with some sort of mental health problem, and we need to treat it just like we treat hypertension, which we talked about, because it can be treated just like hypertension. So a couple easy things that people can do for seasonal affective disorder or SAD. And the first really is just general health stuff. Get your exercise. And I know it's raining out today, but if you can get out into the sun or the rain or the cloud, even for 10, 15 minutes, it's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will actually try to increase the amount of lights that they have, either by getting outside, even though it may be raining, but then also using artificial lights, mm-hmm, things to that extent in the home. Nutrition is important. You know, we even talk about food as health. So making sure that you eat a healthy, well-balanced diet. Stay away from foods that are going to make you feel heavy or sleepy. So, you know, that sugar rush that may feel good for a moment, mm-hmm, the reality is later on you're going to have that sugar crash.
Yeah.
Right? And that's going to actually make you feel more tired. Or heavy fat-filled foods can also make you feel more tired. And then making sure you get the right amount of sleep. Not too much, and not too little. Because during that winter, often we want to stay in bed longer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that actually makes you get less light if suddenly you're on bed in the weekend to 10, 11 o'clock, when you really want to get up, get moving. And those are some simple things. The final thing is, if this sadness kind of really stays with you, you're not enjoying life, feeling hopeless, you got to get in to see a provider. We have great providers now. We're growing our behavioral health team, mm-hmm, to help with things like SAD at Summit Pacific. But even if it's not with us, you know, somebody. There's a lot of great, great providers in our community. I know, Brad, we should really talk more about some of the cool things also that we're doing at Summit Pacific.
Hold on. Hey, before we pivot, because I'm one of these people that I'm probably moderately affected by SAD, mm-hmm, right? And so I really got to be conscious about, so one of my new health habits is trying to take a 10-minute walk after lunch every, mm-hmm, day, you know, and especially when, if it's not raining, I'm out there 10, 15 minutes. And it has a little bit to do, it's a double purpose, because I go out and walk for 10 or 15 minutes, but at the end I'm picking up garbage wherever I see it, right? And it's just because, hey, somebody has to do it. And whose job is it to pick up garbage in our neighborhood,
right, you know,
where we work, et cetera? And so it's kind of double purpose. But it's really, it has to do with SAD, because I know, and the one thing maybe you didn't mention was the importance of vitamin D. Getting extra vitamin D. And so just some good encouragement for us to avoid, because I know for me, I need to like get to a sunny place once a winter, because, mm-hmm, that recharges my battery. If I'm going to San Diego this weekend for 3 days, there's not going to be a lot of sun down there, but, mm-hmm, there might be some on Friday, there might be some on Sunday. If literally I can get an hour or two's worth of sun, I'll come back ready to go for at least another month. And so it's just super important that we know our own body, we know what we need. And so we were talking about on the way here, you know, the importance of having a healthy lunch. You know, I would rather have pizza than salad.
Same here.
Okay, right?
Right.
Right, right. So for those of us, it's like, okay, so every other day, my goal is to have a salad for lunch, right, with some meat, you know, some substance mm-hmm. and all that. But back to your point about sugar, I know I'm going to feel better after that lunch.
I bet so. And I bet, how much more energy do you have after your walk?
Yeah. Oh, and you know, and I'm just I always have more energy after I walk. You think it takes energy to do exercise. Once you've made a new habit after 30 days, that exercise gives you energy.
Oh, absolutely. I always feel better afterwards.
Always.
I hear it's addicting. Like not bad addicting, but like you start exercising and then you're like starting to, I like doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I want to do this more.
And, you know, I have a good friend that works in construction, and, you know, his winters are kind of slow, right? So I slow dripped him. Literally, we've been talking about exercise for, like you, Johnny, right. Like you and I for about a year, right? And so he finally went to the gym, and he mm-hmm. started with 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And he does a little rowing. He does a little bicycling and a little weightlifting. And, you know, and we grew up exercising together as kids. But, you know, Randy's his name, and it's just amazing to see him, you know, start something. It was something he's been talking about wanting to do for a long time.
Nice.
So anyway, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So what else were we going to chat about here this morning?
Philanthropy.
Hey, just our good reminder that United Way has their annual gala coming up a week from Saturday, January 21st at mm-hmm. At the Ocean Shores Convention Center. I know, Johnny, you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Mm-hmm. And so a great opportunity to help people less fortunate. But what is philanthropy? Really, you know, service above self, helping people, you know, sometimes less fortunate than ourselves. And really, you know, thinking about giving our time, talent, and treasure. You know, some organizations, you know, your church, you were talking about that. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, an organization like that, you might give all three. Time, talent, and treasure. Mm-hmm. You know, other organizations, I probably give a half a dozen great organizations I love money. You know, mm-hmm. one of them I give a fair amount of time, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just like, hey, what's our plan for 2023 mm-hmm. around philanthropy? And I just would encourage everybody just to take, you know, a half hour, have a conversation with your spouse and say, honey, what are we doing this year around philanthropy? And just kind of being a little strategic about it, because I know Summit Pacific Medical Center has this amazing foundation doing great work to help improve patient care, help provide scholarships for local high school students. And so we're doing things. And so that's an organization that I choose to invest some of my philanthropy in. Others would choose Harbor Regional, or mm-hmm. you had guys in here talking about the local community park that they're creating a memorial in mm-hmm. Hoquiam Park. So it's like, hey, let's be strategic about not just mm-hmm. our health and wellness, but our philanthropy. Like, what are we giving?
You know what, though, I would add, and some people may not think about this, mm-hmm. but in fact, our health and wellness is better if we volunteer, if we're involved with other activities outside of ourselves. And the reason is when we give, in fact, we often, and you hear this all the time, you actually get more back. And all the studies suggest that people who volunteer, who are generous, they are happier, they're more content, they live longer because of that service ultimately.
Well, you know, in 2022, I gave more than I ever have given in my life. And I just kind of sat down and figured out what I gave. But back to your point, I think, you know, on the volunteering, I probably, you know, didn't give as much as I'd given when I was really involved in Rotary in previous years. Mm-hmm. And so really looking at, hey, what's that balance, you know? Because I honestly believe that we all should be volunteering an hour or two a week, right, somewhere. Right, it could be in our neighborhood, it could be our church, it could be at the hospital, wherever it may be. It's mm-hmm. like, what are we doing to help improve our community?
Right.
Right? And then, you know, what are we doing around, you know, giving? What are we doing around volunteering? And the talent, you know, hey, well, what are we really gifted at? You were doing some AV at a funeral, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a talent that you have that you were sharing. And so really, what are we doing to help improve our community? Really important.
What about the people like me, at sometimes I'm like, oh, I just don't want to do that. I don't have time. I got to, you know.
And that's like almost everybody.
Well, and so, you know, I mentioned a point, you know, like picking up litter for 5 or 10 minutes, right? There's little things that we can do. Mm-hmm. And I know I've talked about this. You know, sorry, I'm going to be on my soapbox here for 30 seconds. But, you know, when you see somebody out walking or jogging on the road,
yeah.
right, with reflective and a flashlight and all that, you know, please pull over a foot or two. I was running on Tuesday morning and literally 10 cars passed me. Five of them pulled over. Some of them pulled over way to the other side, other lane, mm-hmm. and five of them didn't pull over even 1 foot. And I'm running on a busy highway, you know, mm-hmm. kind of busy two-lane road between Elma and Montesano. So it's it's really nice when people pull over 1 or 2 feet, just because that tells them they saw me.
Okay.
And I have a reflectors on. I have a flashlight. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm well lit.
Yeah.
And so it's just nice when you share the road with our community members who are out doing something. So.
But to your
nice way to put that.
Yeah.
But to your question, Johnny, it's hard sometimes for us to build that initiative, but that gets back to habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, volunteer with an organization that's going to help you to be accountable. But once you get going with it, people will enjoy it so much. You see the benefits of your service and really how each of us in the community can make such a strong difference to really get us to be, it's so wonderful already, but make this the place that we all want to live.
Yeah, because I think there's a little bit of a lie out there that sometimes we believe that one person can't make a difference. And I'm just here to say that I have seen thousands of one people
right.
make a significant difference. And a lot of them are young people. They're in high school. You know, whether they're 13 years old or 30 years old or 60 years old. And so I didn't hopefully inspire everybody to get out there.
Gentlemen, thanks for spending time with me. And I hope you'll come back next month.
We will. We'll be here.